Hello, everyone, and welcome to His Stories Podcast. My name is Gil Michel.
I'm Kevin Michelin.
And we're the Wonder Twins. We a lot of people get us mixed up because we look so much alike.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. But how are you doing, Kevin?
I'm really good. It's a beautiful in South Bend today. It's a beautiful, bright, sunny day. So
that is always good. Yeah, always helps. Yeah. So how's it been going? How was your past week?
It's amazing how fast things go. And today is just like, it's hard for me. We're taping this on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to believe it's a Wednesday.
I know.
But, God's good. And he's been revealing and opening some doors. So
good.
Yeah. Good. That's about as general as...
That's about as general as... Yeah. God's been good. He's been opening doors.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll meet your general.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll say that he's been really good, and he's been opening up windows.
Okay.
No, but...
I'll take the door.
You'll take the door? He's been good. Anyway, I'm just being cheeky.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, God has been good. It's been a good week. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, so we thank God for that.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why don't I go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer.
That'd be good.
And then you can introduce our illustrious guest.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay.
So, Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for all that you are. And we just bless you. We thank you for the power of testimony, Lord. And we ask that you'd use it to touch people's lives and that we would be able to overcome by it. We glorify you, we bless you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Yeah, well, we do have an incredible guest. I've been looking forward to this actually for probably about a year, to be able to just have Wycliffe. Or is it Wycliffe or Wycliffe?
Wycliffe.
Wycliffe. Okay,
yes.
Good. I got it right the first time.
Yes.
So Wycliffe Keeter, you're on the pastoral staff at Napanee Missionary Church. But you've got this incredible story. You're not originally from the United States. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Not originally.
Yeah. So I'd like to, we'd like to just bring you into the conversation and like to be able to hear what God has done in your life. And we're going to try to get this in 40 minutes, right?
We'll try.
Yeah. This will be volume one.
Yeah. Yep, we'll try.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing. How do you get a life into just a small span of time, right?
It's very hard.
Yeah.
But I'll try.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So without starting at the point of birth, we'd like to try to get an idea of those things that have happened where you came to know who Christ is. And so maybe we can start out there. How did you get to know who this God is? Because you are just on fire for the Lord. And so I'd love to hear about that.
First of all, let me just appreciate you for inviting me to come and be part of this podcast. It's an honor. So thank you so much. I would like to just take you back to how I got to know Christ.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back to when I was 11. And it's so interesting because I had an uncle who had just gone to, like, outside the country. He had gone to study. And when he came back after his study, he was looking for a job. During that time, while he was looking for a job, it's like, you know what? I will start on fellowship in the village.
Uh-huh.
This is in Kenya now,
yeah.
Africa, East Africa. So he started having home fellowship, inviting people from the village to come and sit and just just try to find or to seek God to move in their lives. And there was this just, it's like revival that it was there. And I was able to experience that. And it was during that moment that I was introduced to Christ. And I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. And it was quite an experience just to get to know Christ, and Christ begins to work in you, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you.
Yeah.
And one time, I was somewhere in just a different location in a town, and there was an open air meeting. So there was this guest speaker who was invited to come and preach. And I was standing as a kid, who is an 11-year-old kid, looking at this preacher. And I just fell in love with this preacher. And after preaching for 3 days, every time when he was done with preaching, he will invite people to come and give their life to Christ. It's like who is there to give their life to Christ? And it's like everyone will, some people will raise their hands and they will go to the front and they will be prayed for and say, like, I've received Christ. Mm-hmm. But for me, because already I'd given my life to Christ, I wanted to be like this preacher. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for a moment when he will say, who wants to be like me? And after 3 days, he left. So I got frustrated because I really wanted to be like him. So I went back to God. And this is very key. This is when you know that God answers prayers. Because after he left, I went back to God, started crying to God for almost a year. Mm. I want to be like that guy. I want to be like that preacher. I want to be like that preacher. So one time, I'm sitting in a church. I'm 11. I'm almost 12. Sitting in a church, there's a guest speaker who has been invited. We don't know each other. He has never seen me. So he's preaching at the front, and the wife was just sitting right behind me. And when the service was over, the lady, the wife of the guest speaker, grabbed my shoulder and she told me, can I have a minute with you? It's like, sure. So she took me outside and this is what she told me. God has heard your prayer. But here's the deal. God is saying you're too young right now. But God is saying when you grow up, you'll be a preacher.
Wow.
And now I'm a preacher. God has answered the desire of my heart. Mm. Yeah, that's how I came to be a preacher.
Nice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Quite a, like, thank God that he gives you those messages, even at 11-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's amazing. So I'm thinking to myself, so how do you... you're in Kenya. So let me ask you one quick thing. Is it correct that, were you born with the name Wycliffe? Or were you born with the name Wycliffe?
It's interesting because when you look back, we were colonized by the British and then as a nation. And then later on, the missionaries came along and they started preaching to the natives, that is Kenyans. And this is what they did. They asked anyone who had accepted Jesus Christ to get an English name.
Okay.
So you'll find everybody in Kenya, they have an English name and a tribal name.
Okay.
So I have my name now, Wycliffe is an English name.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And Keter is my tribal language.
Keter.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Because I'd heard, the only reason why I asked this, is a little insider baseball, you were teaching a class, mm-hmm. and you had said something to that, and obviously I wasn't completely listening because I wouldn't got that.
You need to
but
be.
Could you clarify that?
You need to be attentive in my class.
I got 99%.
That's my fault. Yeah.
So, Wycliffe, how long have you been here in the United States?
The first time when I came to the United States was 2009.
Okay.
And I was here only for a year. And then I went back and continued doing the ministry in Kenya. And then I came back in 2013. And I went straight to Bethel University.
Oh, okay.
Where I was I did my graduate school for 2 years.
Okay.
So I've been here since 2013, like full time, but going back and forth to Kenya to do ministry. Yeah.
Gotcha. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what exactly you're doing in Kenya, or what you've been doing, have been doing, and what you're been currently doing in Kenya?
Yeah. When I was done with my Bible school, that was 2006. I had a privilege to be given an opportunity to be a youth pastor in 2008. And then after that, there was a ministry that was sitting next to my church, that is an orphanage, reaching out to kids who have been abandoned, who have been thrown away. So I was a pastor, but at the same time working with kids who have been abandoned. Mm-hmm. So for almost 10 years, that was my ministry, ministering at the church, as well as volunteering or working with the kids who have been abandoned from, these are the kids who have been thrown, like in the bushes. These are the kids who have been thrown in pit like tree and who have been left just by the roadside. And for sure, you can see how God does his work in these places, especially these kids who have been abandoned and thrown away. You can see God's redemption, that God has redeemed a life that has been thrown away. And then you bring this kid to this home and you raise them for a period of time, and you'll find that God begins to work in somebody's life or somebody's family, and they come and say, hey, I want this kid to be my child. And you find this child being adopted by a Christian family. The ministry that we started about 10 years ago, right now we can say God has been faithful, that you have placed over 500 kids into different homes, Christian homes. Yeah. So, and then my wife, some point we felt like, you know what? It seems like God is saying, you're done with this ministry. We need to hand over to somebody else. So that's what we did in 2013. So when I came to States, I wasn't sure about where God was leading me. So I went straight to school, that is Bethel University. And I was there for 2 years. In that period of 2 years, I wasn't sure still, what is it that God is leading me to do? Mm-hmm. After I was done with 2 years, everybody was asking me, so what's your plan? What's your next step? And that's what I found out, that so many people, especially in our society, that there's so much pressure from outside. The outside voice sometimes makes us to do things that is not aligned with God. Yeah. But for me, in my heart, I really wanted to do something that God really wanted me to do, to listen to the inside voice. So in 2017, I felt like God was calling me to start training pastors in Kenya. The reason is because after being in Kenya for that period and being a pastor in Kenya, I realized that there was a gap that was missing. That gap is the gap of discipleship. Kenyan pastors, some of them, they have gone to Bible school. Some of them, they have a call. They know how to preach. They know how to do missions. They know how to evangelize. But they have a congregation, and some of them, they don't know how to grow them to mature in the faith. So now in 2017, I started now traveling back and started training pastors on how, or giving them tools on how to equip their congregation to grow spiritually. And God has been faithful. For the last, just last year, we had about 1,700 pastors train on that's discipleship.
Incredible. Wow. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible number. Mm-hmm. So with having 1,700 pastors, how was the acceptance when you first started something like that? Because sometimes when you get a little snowball, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you're going down the hill, it'll go down really well and mm-hmm. go down really fast. The next thing you know, you got an avalanche. 1,700 pastors is an mm-hmm. avalanche. That's wonderful. How did you start?
I will go back to just my own personal experience on having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And I've always understood that there's nothing that you can start, especially in the kingdom of God, without spending time in prayers.
Yeah.
So for almost a year, I just cried to God. It's like, I don't know what to do, but I need you to lead me to do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is, let me go back to prayers. One time I was in North Carolina. I'd gone to Billy Graham Museum.
Yeah.
Just to see, when you get there in Charlotte, you can walk through and see what he has done or what he did since when he gave his life to Christ. They're like different sections.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this quote that caught my attention. There's somebody who had asked him, and he was asking, what is your secret of your ministry? Every time you have a crusade or an open air meeting, the stadiums, it's packed. What is the secret?
Mm-hmm.
Billy Graham said, there are three things that you need to do. Number one, you need to pray. Number two is prayer. Number three is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that one really sunk deep into my heart. And that's what I did. The second thing, number one is prayer. The second thing is just my connection with the church in Kenya. Mm-hmm. I know people, I know pastors. My denomination that I come from, we have about 2,000 churches. So it was easier for me to go back and tell them, hey, I feel like this is where God is leading us. What do you think? And I think God just gave me favor with the pastors and the leadership of the church. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. What have you found has been, because you said you've now been here full-time about 2013. Mm-hmm. If you had to compare the spiritual climate between here and Kenya, maybe not judge it by comparing them, but what would you say are the major differences that you have found from being here and experiencing the church here in the United States and the church in Kenya?
One of the things that I've learned is when you're living in a culture where there's scarcity, there's a high tendency for you to seek God. Mm-hmm. But when you live in a culture where there's abundance, there's a tendency, God does not become a priority. Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference that I've noticed here in the States. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. I heard one pastor, he's from Nigeria. He says, I remember this, going to see him speak in the Bronx when I was growing up. And he said, you know, you here, you have, we have blessed assurance. Mm. You have blessed insurance.
It's true. The same thing in Kenya.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
He said something about doctors too or something like that, didn't he?
When you have to depend. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that same thing. Exactly. Yeah. Wow. So you talked about, let me just go back a little bit. You talked about how you encountered God and him answering your prayer at 12 years old. And wanting to preach.
Yes.
What are some of the other things that informed what shaped you, not just as a preacher, but as a Christian in those early years?
I think for me, first is my grandfather. My grandfather was passed away about 5 years ago when he was 98.
Wow.
My grandfather was, he gave his life when he was very young. And he was able to be a pastor for 40 years. Wow. And just for him being my role model, just to see him every day every week pack his Bible, put in a bag and go to church and serve people in community. He will walk for miles and miles just to be able to attend a church that he has been invited to go and preach.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle who introduced me to Christ, and he's still a pastor. Just those are the people who played a huge role in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And other people who have come along, especially in Bible school, just to be able to just impact my spiritual walk and my spiritual formation, the professors that I sat under, just to shape me who I am today, and different pastors and people. I will say regular people, like women in the village, just to see on how they exercise their faith in a place where there's scarcity, and they trust God that God will provide for them, God will watch over them, God will protect them. And you look at that and you say, God is faithful. If God can provide for that woman,
yeah,
he can still provide for me.
Yeah.
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 And that is why even like today, I can stand and say, God will provide for you. The reason I'm talking from my own experience, that God has provided for me and God is faithful.
Yeah.
And still God can provide for you today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking out of experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about Kenya, because there's one thing that, you know, I've lived in northern Indiana my whole life. So the whole idea of Kenya is literally a world away from me. I can see what I see possibly in, they used to call them newsreels, but I'm not that old, but you know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Let me ask, what are the things that as an American who loves the Lord, how can I pray? Because you mentioned prayer, how can I pray for Kenya? How can I lift the nation of Kenya up? How can I lift the church of Kenya up? And then also, how could I lift up these pastors, these 1,700 pastors in prayer?
Number one, I would say the way Jesus said that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And for the last couple of years, let's say 15 years, I've seen many people who have done missiology, professors, and people have just spent time studying missions. And they're saying there's a shift that is happening right now. There's a shift that is moving from the global north, that is America, and it's shifting to global south, that is Africa. That now you'll find that more preachers, evangelists, and missionaries are now beginning to spring from or come out from Africa. So with that, knowing with that information, I will ask you to begin to pray that people will have courage and boldness to carry the gospel, especially from Africa or from Kenya, and to move to these places that they have never been reached.
Including the United States.
Yes, and people are moving.
No, you're absolutely right.
And I think I can say, we definitely say that. You know, you go to even South Bend, and it really struck me. I was working with teenagers not that long ago, and it struck me. I thought the kid was being smart. You know, he literally looks at the wall, and he says, "What's the T? Why would you put a T on a wall?"
Wow.
And I'm like, "Come on, I did a Joe Biden. Come on, man." And he was dead serious.
Yeah.
And I thought, "Oh my word."
Yeah.
You've never been in Sunday school at once, you know, to be able to come across and ask that question, but I was happy to answer the question.
Yes.
So yes, I'd love to be able to see. We need to be awakened.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned we have so much in this country.
Oh yeah.
Right. That kid I was talking about. He was. According to the culture here, he was poor. Yeah. He wasn't poor. Yeah. If you got a phone in your hand and you got Nikes on your shoe, you're not poor.
No.
Right?
You need to sit down with me at some point just for me to share with you my testimony growing up, whereby you get to be introduced to God very early in your life. The reason is because of scarcity, because you wake up in the morning, you don't have food on the table. So because you don't have food on the table, so your parents will call you and say, "Hey, we need to pray because we don't have food." Mm-hmm. Or you don't have tuition to go to school, because in Kenya you have to pay for you to be able to go to school, even in high school, college. And that's it's an opportunity for many parents and many people to be introduced to the power and providence of God.
Yes.
Because there's so much scarcity. Mm-hmm. Let me share you a story.
Sure.
When I was in Bible college, my final year, I stood at there was a notice board that the principal will come and put notices and say, "Hey, these are the things that we are supposed to be doing." So I was doing exams, my final exams. I went back to the hostel, and there was this signboard. The principal had put a sticker or a notice and said, "If you know that you have not cleared the fees for this semester, don't even think of coming back next semester." Not only coming back next semester, but also you have to clear at least a half of next semester. So for me, I had balance from the semester, and thinking even of next semester, I didn't know where I would get my tuition fee. So what I did, I stood there with my friend, and I look at that notice, and I told my friend, we stood there, and he said, "If there's any board meeting in heaven, we are asking God to call a board meeting to discuss this issue." And then I went further from that. On my last week, when I was supposed to come back to school, I told God, "I've never fasted. I don't know the feeling of fasting. I don't know how to fast. But this is one of the things I'm asking you. I'm planning to go tomorrow to fast, and I'm going for seven days. Yeah. I want you to give me grace for 7 days. I don't want you to talk to me. I don't want to hear your audio voice. But I want, when I wake up tomorrow to go for fasting, I want like peace in my heart.
Yeah.
So the following day I woke up and there was just this tremendous peace in my heart. And I packed my things and I went for seven days fasting.
Yeah.
From Friday to Friday. To cut the long story short, during my fasting, I'd ask God that I want you to provide that on Monday when everyone is going back to school, I'll be able to attend the same day like everybody else, mm-hmm. because I've come with humility and I've come to seek you because you are my Father, Abba.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know on Monday, very early in the morning, somebody called me and said, you need to be here by 7 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, when the accountant was opening the account's office, I was there. He clicked on the computer, looking for my name. He told me, your money has been cleared,
oh, wow.
The balance. And the money that for this semester, it has been paid in full. Did you know that I graduated that year with not even a balance of single cent?
Amazing.
Everything was clear.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. That's called God's providence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we do so many times in the Western...
Mm-hmm.
culture in the Western Church is we come up with a committee, but it's not necessarily God's committee.
Yeah, we want an earthly board meeting.
Let's get this figured.
Yeah.
Man, so what are you looking for in the future? What are your hopes and dreams to see accomplished in ministry? You're in a place now. I'm assuming you're still speaking into the lives of pastors and influencing pastors in Kenya. What are your hopes and dreams? What do you hope to see happen here in the United States and Kenya, as far as ministry is concerned?
My prayer, and I've always said, I have only one plan, and that's plan A, just to see people give their lives to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that God will bring change in people's heart, will bring conviction, will bring revival in this place. And the last couple of weeks, we have been just seeking God and asking God to move in this land. Not only just in this land, I want people to get to know Christ. If it were not the pandemic that we're experiencing now, right now, I'll be back in Kenya, mm-hmm. preaching the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's, I believe, and with all of my heart, that's what God has called me to do, to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Christ said, when he was speaking at the synagogue, that the Holy Spirit is upon me. He has anointed me. Why? To preach the gospel.
Yeah.
That's what I can say right now. The Holy Spirit is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't get better than that.
No, exactly.
Go ahead. It's a little switching gears just a little bit, but obviously you've got a few kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a wife.
That's very general. A few kids. Like, how many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids.
Okay. You got a few kids. Like, what's a few? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
So,
did you meet your wife at Bethel, or how did you meet her in Kenya? I wasn't sure exactly where you met her.
We met in Kenya. She came as a missionary. So I was a pastor and she was a missionary next door at the baby center. So she was young. I was young. She was not married. So when I had opportunity for her to come and...
evangelistic dating.
There you go.
There you go.
So when I used to have like different opportunity or teaching opportunity for her to come, I will invite her to come and speak to the young people. That was my off day. So it's like, what do I do with my off day? I know I can do other things, but I want to do ministry. So there was an opportunity at the baby center where she was the director. So I went to her office and say, you know, I have all this time on Monday. Can I come and volunteer? So something started cooking along those lines.
Gotta watch these Christian preachers. Can I come volunteer with the babies?
So it's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
I like that.
So in 2000, and we started dating in early 2007, 2008. It's a long process when you want to get married in Kenya. Sure. Marriage belongs, it's not just only for you two people, mm-hmm. but it belongs to the community. They mm-hmm. want to be part of it, especially your parents. So it's a long process. So it took us almost a year to go through that process. In 2008, we got married early 2008. And then in September, we adopted two boys from the home.
That's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we adopted two boys from the home. The reason why I did it is because I felt a conviction of, if God has adopted me spiritually mm. into his family, mm-hmm. as a pastor, I need to do it in a practical sense. Mm. So I took these kids to my family, and we took them when they were 2.5. Mm. Right now they're freshmen, 14 years old. Yeah. They've been
Are they twins?
Yeah, they're twins.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, twins. Awesome kids. They play soccer. Oh my goodness. They've been a blessing to us. And then I have two biological kids, 11, and he's going to turn, our youngest is going to turn 7 next month.
Wow.
November 1st. So 4 kids.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keeps you busy.
They keep me busy. That house is busy and chaotic.
Wow. Yeah. With my wife and I, we have two fosters as well, and mm-hmm. Looking to adopt. That's the goal. And so I understand what you mean. It's just when you see, I mean, and Kevin, you've been there as well, as far as, so there's something about the mindset when you adopt or foster children. There's a different mindset you get from the Father's heart about how he has adopted you as well.
Yes.
And grafted you in, and while we weren't thinking about him, he's thinking about us, and he's intentional. And so that's awesome to see as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has been a rich experience for us. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, as we're kind of closing down a little bit here, I'd like to ask you this. I know that when people share their testimonies on this platform, and that something will usually spark or wake up in someone. And I'm hearing a few different themes. Mm-hmm. One is about, even at a young age, the desire and the prayers of your heart, the things you were crying out for, like, man, I want to be a preacher like that, mm-hmm. even at 11 years old. Mm-hmm. But I could even sense and believe that there are people listening to this who are in their 20s mm-hmm. or 40s mm-hmm. or 50s mm-hmm. who are saying, I want to live my life to that type, that level of abandon. And maybe they're not 11 years old thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Maybe they're like, man, I've spent all this time doing everything else. Mm-hmm. I want to give the rest of my life to something that matters. I only want to have a plan A, as you said. Mm-hmm. Could you do us the honor of praying for those people who are listening to this, that God would spark something in them to think, well, man, well, it's too late, or, you know, I already went to college for this. This is my major, or just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Could you please pray for those folks that are, that maybe are going through that in their own hearts?
Yeah. I'm glad to do it.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, you're good. Mm. You're gracious in every way. There's no God who can be compared to you, especially when you say in the Bible that men have fashioned, men have shaped, men have made idols, but the idols cannot speak. They cannot answer prayers, but you alone, O God, can answer prayers. And that is why this morning we come to you, God, and cry to you and plead with you that may you move in our lives, may you change and transform our lives. I know there are so many people who are listening to this podcast. Maybe they're in a place that they're wondering, oh God, how is God going to provide for me? How is God going to make a way in a place that I am? Some people are just in a they feel like they're lonely. There's some people who feel like they have been abandoned by you. But I just want to pray, God, that your presence this morning may move in a, just in a great way and touch people's lives. Let there be a change. Let there be healing. Let there be restoration. Let there be reconciliation where there is a discord. I pray, God, for peace that surpasses human understanding. That, Lord, Heavenly Father, if there is chaos, let there be peace. I want to pray, God, for pastors, wherever they are right now. Probably, God, they have not listened or they have not heard your voice speaking to their hearts. That this morning through this podcast, they'll be able to tune in and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let there just be a fresh wind. Let there be a fire that is going to be sparked in their hearts. And they will begin to walk with you. Heavenly Father, I've known you. I've known your faithfulness. I've known your providence, oh God. I've known your presence, oh God. I pray this morning that even in my heart, I have no doubt who you are. I pray, God, may you provide for these people. May you show your presence to these people. If there's a kid who has a calling and they're still doubting, this morning let there be clarity.
Yes.
Let your voice be so clear in their hearts. May you begin to open the path. May you begin to open the road that they will know that you're speaking to them. If there's anyone who is doubting this morning, I pray that there'll be just confirmation through somebody, through a pastor, through a lay leader, through somebody who is a mentor, that, Lord, you've called them into ministry and there's no plan B. And this morning, even as we end this program, I pray, God, may you strengthen our faith. May we strengthen our faith. I know even this morning when I was reading your word, it says, when you were talking to Simon Peter, you said the devil, as he has asked to shift, to separate you from everybody else like a wheat. But Jesus, you're saying, I've prayed for you so that your faith will not fail.
Yes. Yeah.
That word is so encouraging, that you have prayed for us, that our faith will not fail. Heavenly Father, we take pride and say, we are your children this morning. May your presence be with us from now on into the future. Yes. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Well, Wycliffe, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. Are there ways that people, if they want to get in contact with you, do you have a social media? What is the best way for people to reach you? We'll put those things will be in our podcast notes, but is there anything that you want to maybe?
Yes. My role right now is a liaison officer, like an ambassador for my denomination.
Okay.
So in case you want to reach me, my email is wycliffeketer@nmc.church.
Okay.
That's where you can get me, or you can find me on social media, Wycliffe Keter.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Awesome. So reach out to him.
Yeah.
Not you ladies. He's married. All right. With not a few kids, but four kids. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, you guys.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
It would be awesome. Those notes will be, and that information will be in the podcast notes. And so we look forward to hearing from you soon. And God bless. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Can become